So this is the life of Theodore Daniel Becker, longer version, as written by Ted, with a few annotations and asides. Theodore, later known as Ted, was the youngest of the children of Dan and Marie Becker. Other children in the family were Otto, Erwin, and Margaret. Three children died in their infancy, so Ted was really their seventh child. Ted was born not born in a hospital, but in his farm home. So you could say that he was a farmer from birth. There is a saying that you can take a boy off the farm, but you can't take farming out of the boy. Farming was hard work, but Ted always enjoyed working in the field. He never had a farm of his own, but every residence had its flower beds and garden plot. The smell of freshly turned soil was sweet to his nostrils, and the growth and harvesting of whatever was planted gave him joy. But perhaps his greatest delight was in sharing his produce with family and friends. Later in life, Ted learned from his brother about an incident that occurred on the day of Ted's birth. It was Easter Sunday, and his father had cooked a roast for the family dinner. The glorious smell of the roast beef filled the house, and I guess the yard. Ted's birth was attended by a midwife who is well known to the family. She had neglected to close the kitchen door, and the family dog saw fit to enter and steal away with a resting roast that had been on the cupboard. The brother's initial impression of Ted and his arrival was rather tainted by crushed anticipation and the meatless meal. Over the years, Ted told of experiences he had while on the farm, such as shocking and husking corn. I guess shocking means stacking, essentially. Endeavoring to milk the family cow, which proved to be an utter failure. It seems that making puns are an undocumented fruit of the spirit with which pastors are blessed. Well, we'll see how Pastor Brad does shortly. I digress, back to farm stuff. Butchering pigs and rendering lard and making sausage, making apple butter in a large copper kettle hung over an outdoor blazing wood fire, harvesting various sorts of fruits and vegetables, loading the hay wagon and stowing it away in the barn and coming out drenched in sweat, plowing with a walking plow pulled by two sorrel horses, and later to drive the tractor which replaced the horses. And he did have the experience of pitching sheaves of rye and wheat into a thrashing machine. There is no question that he knew what hard work was, how to use his hands, head, and heart to get things done. In his preteen years, as Ted thought of his future, he considered three possibilities: to be a carpenter, to run a steam locomotive, or to be a pastor. On his confirmation day, he disclosed to his baptismal sponsor that he had decided to become a pastor. Several things led to this decision: a loving and pious grandmother who prayed that one of her grandsons would become a pastor, the devout Christian home in which he was reared, a home in which the gospel prevailed, and the example of his own pastor whom he admired. Of course, there was a lot of support from his own family and his congregation. His activities in his own congregation led him to believe that he had at least some of the gifts required. He did not know that he had a problem with shyness, but the door stood open for him to go ahead with his plans. His parents supported him in every way, including financially, because his only work had been on the farm and because it was their pleasure. While at college and seminary, Ted found part-time employment to purchase some of the extra things required, such as books, clothing, and transportation. Ted found many friends during his year of internship at Trinity Lutheran Church in Regina. Many of these friendships continued throughout the years that followed. Two very significant friends were Pastor and Mrs. Henke. He lived with them in the parsonage, and they treated him as a son. They gave him many opportunities to test his pastoral skills, which included the opportunity to conduct the liturgy for the German service. These experiences encouraged him to proceed with his education and to be ordained. At this time, Ted learned that one-third of the congregations of our synod in Canada were vacant. So, recognizing the need, he let himself open for call to Canada. Before his graduation from seminary, a call was received and accepted to serve at Grace Lutheran Church in East Kildonan, Manitoba, now Winnipeg. He chose to remain in Canada and serve congregations in each of the four western provinces. Ted's entire parish ministry was to mission congregations, helping them to develop and to be self-supporting. All the congregations achieved that goal, and two of them became debt-free. Ted found that being a pastor in mission congregations required wearing many hats. When there was no secretarial help available, he typed the bulletins, cranked them out on the trusty Gestetner and folded them. If the lawn needed mowing and there was no one to do it, he did it. If the church needed cleaning and no one came forth, he did it, because he was of the opinion that the property of God's house should be kept, should be neatly kept, for that in itself was a witness to the community. His final parish ministry was to Shepherd of the Hills in Bowness, which lasted for 20 years. After his retirement, Ted was invited to give assistance at the Bethany Care Center in Calgary as a part-time chaplain. He was asked to consider doing this for 3 months, and he stayed for 4 years. Then after his second retirement, he continued as a volunteer there in the pastoral care department. It is a good sign that you have found your calling when you retire and then do the same work voluntarily. Standing beside Ted for over 48 years was a lovely and talented lady, Barbara, whom Ted had met during his time in seminary. At times, Ted spoke of her as the better half, and he acknowledged that indeed she was. She helped and gave leadership in many areas of church life and became a friend and confidant to many. Barbara joined Ted as a volunteer at the Bethany Care Center, where she was also very well received. One incident from their courtship days should be shared. Ted was in his first parish in Winnipeg, and Barbara was working in the public schools of Detroit, so she decided to come up for a visit. She took the train, and that was more than a day's journey. At the conclusion of her visit, both of them learned something new. Specifically, if you help your sweetie get her luggage on the train and linger to say goodbye, trains do not wait for you to get off prior to heading down the tracks. So Ted got a free ride to Morris, Manitoba, some 70 kilometers away. Thereupon, he faced the problem of getting back home before the following morning, which, to add time pressure, happened to be Sunday. Experienced hitchhiker that he was, he got to the highway, stuck out his thumb, and soon got a ride that took him to his doorstep. In February of the following year, Ted and Barbara decided to put an end to the letter writing and the long journeys. Their marriage was in Barbara's home congregation in Detroit on February 7, 1953. They were blessed with three children, Paul, John, and Carolyn. Like many pastors, Ted had the problem of finding a proper balance between his commitment to his family and the commitment to his work. He appreciated the sacrifices his wife and children were willing to make, but he wished he could have spent more time with them. Still, some wonderful times were spent together, including trips away, and especially a trip for the five to Europe in 1974. Just prior to this trip, the family became Canadian citizens. Ted was ecumenically minded, and he enjoyed good relations with pastors and members of congregations of different denominations. He always participated in local ministerial gatherings and in the Calgary Clergy Curling Club for 20 or more years. I believe this club had the aptly named Friar's Briar. It was sort of in theme with the pun thing I mentioned earlier. So back to the ecumenical topic. He appreciated the unity that was realized, but was also recognized that there would never be a union of all churches on this side of heaven. He considered the differences to be of human origin, but he sensed that there must be a purpose for them, so he looked for and rejoiced in what was held in common. Surely Dad would want me to thank you all for coming to this service, and also for the love and friendship that you have shown towards him and his family throughout the years. He regarded his ministry as a calling from God, and your friendship as a bonus. He never regretted his coming to serve and to remain in Canada, even though it meant being so far away from people whom he especially loved, his parents and family. His family were one with him in spirit and supported him all the way, and that he would also say for his immediate family. What you have just heard was essentially written by Dad's own hand, or more accurately, by using his rather ancient typewriter. I think he wrote it around 2011. It was a great idea to do and made this talk much easier to pull together. I plan on doing the same thing, but leaving out most of the stuff I've done and adding in some good deeds and heroic acts. Anyway, these words certainly give some history and context for his life, and I hope it conveys his love of laughter and joy in life. He obviously took his faith seriously, but he also took it playfully. I remember one night when we were playing Yahtzee. The family enjoyed playing games together. The game was getting tense, and he needed a certain roll to get his Yahtzee. "No problem," he said, and he proceeded to shake the dice while moving his hands in the sign of the cross. He then rolled the dice and got his roll. Yahtzee. I accused him of cheating by calling in favors, but he just laughed. As he grew older and his abilities faded, he accepted his declining condition with grace. He continued to seek God's purpose in his life, even if it simply meant praying and being a friend to others. In keeping with the thanks that Dad has written above, I would like to thank the Father Lacombe Care Center for their patience, care, and kindness over the past few years, and Catherine, our Minister of Music, who I'm hiding behind the organ, the pastors, Diane, our office administrator, church volunteers, and the folks at the Evan J. Strong Funeral Services for their efforts in bringing this service together. I would also like to thank grandson Mike Geronimo for his work enlarging and printing photos. I especially thank our good Lord for his grace and strength in difficult times, for his love and the community that sustains it, and for the life of Pastor Theodore Daniel Becker.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of our Bishop Larry Kuchendorfer, who is unable to be with us here today, I share these greetings. As you gather today to mourn, to support all who grieve, and to express humble thanks to God for God's work in and through the life of Theodore Ted, God's beloved children through his baptism into Christ, I share with you, family members and all who bear the burden of grief and loss, sincere condolences on behalf of your family in Christ across the Synod of Alberta and the territories of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. With gratitude to God, we are mindful today of Pastor Ted's service to Christ and to Christ Church. Together with Barbara, he served several congregations throughout Western Canada, Grace Winnipeg, Peace Fraser Wood, Grace Burnaby, Our Savior's Regina, Peace McLean, Shepherd of the Hills, Calgary, and Pulpit Supply in many other congregations. Pastor Ted also served as chaplain in Bethany Care Center, Calgary. He wrote for the anniversary of his ordination, his 60th in 2012, he wrote this: "As I reflect on my ministry, I give thanks to God that in my youth I felt the Holy Spirit's direction to consider the ministry, and for parents and the pastor of our congregation who encouraged me, and for the members of the seminary faculty, for the pastor who supervised my internship, and for my dear wife, who supported me, encouraged me, offered so much help at home and in the congregation. And know that God gave me a special blessing in my soulmate, born on December 25th, 1928, and for 48 and a half years until her death, September 4th, 2001. He went on to share encouragement for today's rostered ministers today, and indeed for all of us. I think St. Paul said it very well in 1 Timothy 4, and especially in verses 11 to 14. Always remember that you are a servant of the Most High God, and be faithful to him. Be guided by scripture and prayer, and never give up on anyone, for there is life, there is hope. You do the witnessing, and the Holy Spirit will change people's lives." In the holiness of this moment of thanksgiving to God and of grief, I am reminded of and share with you a portion of Pastor Ted's favorite hymn, "Be Still, My Soul." This is a hymn text which Pastor Ted described as words of comfort and consolation. "Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he will faithfully will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways lead to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, the hours hastening on. When we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone. Sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last." Today we echo the words of this hymn, these words of comfort and consolation, as we grieve and as we cling to God's promises for Ted and for each of us. "Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on. when we shall be forever with the Lord. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. Family, beloved of God, may the God of all consolation comfort your hearts. May you know the unforced rhythms of God's grace. May you be at peace, knowing Jesus' presence as you mourn. May you stand firm in the knowledge that as beloved children of God, you are not alone. And as the Apostle Paul wrote, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Grace and peace be with you all. Shalom. The Reverend Dr. Larry Kochendorfer, Bishop, Synod of Alberta and the Territories, Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada.
Please stand. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world. We are gathered to worship, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen, to remember before God our brother Ted, to give thanks for his life, to commend him to our merciful Redeemer, and to comfort one another in our grief. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our brother Ted. We give you thanks for giving him to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Oh,
The first reading today is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from that where we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 23. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have also died in Christ have perished. If there is life only we have hoped in Christ, is for this life only we have hoped in Christ. We are all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. As for all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We can make this Easter proclamation today because of the faith the Holy Spirit has graced us with when we were claimed by God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of baptism. Because of the promises we have heard in today's lessons, which Ted chose himself, from Holy Scripture. Because of the strengthening of our faith, which we are blessed with each time we come to the altar to receive Jesus' body and blood in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. And in particular, because those of us gathered here today have been granted the blessing of seeing this faith in our Lord Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection from the dead, lived out in word and deed in Ted Becker. Ted not only spoke of Christ's love and presence, God also used Ted's particular personality to embody it for the sake of everyone that he encountered. It was clear to those with eyes to see that Ted's hope in Christ was not only for this life, but also for the life to come. Because the resurrection is a reality that he based his life on, and as best he could, by the help of God, encouraged and enabled others to do likewise over the course of his ministry, through the proclamation of God's word and the administration of the sacraments, as a called and ordained minister of Christ's church. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus that we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Are we sad? Well, of course we are. I only really got to know Ted once I began as pastor of Ascension roughly 5 years ago. And I began visiting him and bringing him Holy Communion once his mobility became limited. I'm going to miss him. And I haven't known him a fraction as long or as deeply as most of you gathered here today. But then again, we do not grieve as those without hope, nor as those without the promises of God. Death has caused a change in our relationship with Ted, but death does not have the last word. Jesus, by virtue of his death, resurrection, and ascension, has the last word over his beloved, and that word is life. Because Christ is risen from the dead, we have the promise of life after death with him, the promise which Ted now enjoys. And because Ted is alive in Christ, we enjoy a continued relationship with him in our Lord, because as we confess in the creeds, we believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Reflecting on his wife's passing, Pastor Berholt von Schenk wrote, quote, "When we then view death in the light of the communion of saints and Holy Communion, there is no helpless bereavement. My loved one has just left me and has gone on a long journey, but I am in touch with her. I know that there is a place where we can meet. It is at the altar. How it thrills me when I hear the words of the liturgy, therefore with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, for I know that she is there with that company of heaven, the communion of saints with the Lord. The nearer I come to my Lord in Holy Communion, the nearer I come to the saints, to my own loved ones. I am a member of the body of Christ. I am a living cell in that spiritual organism, partaking of the life of the other cells and sharing in the body of Christ himself. There is nothing fanciful or unreal about this. Indeed, it is the most real thing in my life. Of course I miss my loved one. I should miss her if she took a long holiday trip. But now, since she is what some people call dead, she is closer to me than ever. Of course I miss her physical presence bitterly. I miss her voice and the sound of approaching footsteps. But I have not lost her. And when my sense of loss becomes too great, I can always go to our meeting place at the altar, where I receive the body and blood of my Lord that preserves my body and soul, just as it has preserved her unto everlasting life. Do learn to love the altar as the meeting place with your beloved who have passed within the veil. Here again, the sacrament is the heart of our religion. The Blessed Sacrament links us not merely to Bethlehem and Calvary, but to the whole world beyond the grave as well. For at the altar, the infinite is shrined in the finite. Heaven stoops down to earth, and the seen and the unseen met. End quote. As Jesus said in the gospel lesson from St. John, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me, will never die. Resurrection and life are not so much some things as someone, Jesus Christ, who came to give himself to us, for us, and for our salvation. He came and continues to come to us out of his great and abiding love for us. He is with us now, as the Paschal candle bears witness to. He is with Ted now, and he will continue to be with us in the days and the weeks and the months ahead as we navigate life, this new reality. Because of Jesus' resurrection, Ted's faith is not in vain, nor is ours. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.
With Christians around the world, let us profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Almighty God, in holy baptism, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion of saints in the body of Christ. Give to your whole church, in heaven and on earth, your light and your peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to share the new life in Christ. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give courage and faith to all who mourn, and a sure and certain hope in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may have strength for the days ahead. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to your light and life. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us in the midst of things we cannot understand to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, God of all grace, we give you thanks because by his death, our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gathered into one by God's Spirit, let us pray as Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. And I'd like to invite all of the clergy who are present to come forward. I know there are more clergy here than the ones who are vested. So please come forward. And Kate, this means you too. Corliss. I would like to invite you to bless Ted's remains. Earlier this week, Earl Olson, who's a member here, was talking to me about the time that Ted was a pastor at Shepherd of the Hills, and he said, that was such a small congregation, it always was, and it stayed a small congregation, but if you walked in Bowness, anywhere in Bowness, and you asked anyone on the street, who was my pastor, they would answer, Ted Becker. Ted has asked us to make this request to God on his behalf, and so I read from Luke chapter 2. Master, now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel. So let us commend Ted to the mercy of God, our Maker and our Redeemer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Ted. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. You can stay here. And now a blessing for us all. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be given glory and honor forever. Amen.
Thank you.
go forth in peace. The family will greet you in the fellowship hall, which is just out the doors and to the right.